Welcome to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Join us in our campaign and shenanigans as we explore the subterranean labyrinths, plunder hordes of treasure, battle legendary monsters. This podcast will be following our gaming group and the adventures of these characters, as well as a few guests from time to time. Join us as we start a new campaign and our journey to experience the best, and maybe the worst, in the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey guys, Jim here from D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Unfortunately, this weekend our gaming group wasn't able to get together due to different conventions going on around town, but those of us that could, we went ahead and got together and rolled up some new first level characters for the Princes of the Apocalypse adventure that we're gearing up for. We're going to be following Carrie as she goes through all of the character creation, creating her character, and then we'll be finding out what Kelly came up with for her character, as she's already completed hers a little earlier. Alright guys, hope you enjoy!
Hi guys, welcome back to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. This is Jim and Carrie. We're going to be going through step-by-step character creation for her new character for Princes of the Apocalypse, the newest adventure, 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Say that again really fast. Just kidding. Princes of the Apocalypse, doesn't it sound like, you know, the soundtrack to, Queen soundtrack to the Highlander? We're the Princes of the Universe.
Okay, so Carrie, first, what race have you chosen?
I am going to go half-elf.
Half-elf.
Yeah, let me write that down.
Alrighty. Yep. Half-elves use either human or elven name conventions. Alright, so on your ability scores, you're going to want to write charisma plus 2. So just like off to the side for charisma.
Or not in the little circle?
Well, no, not in the little circle. You're going to put your final number in the little circle.
Charisma plus 2.
So yeah, just put plus 2 in the edge there. And plus 1 to 1 ability score of your choice.
I would like plus 1 to dexterity. What do you think? I think dexterity.
Okay. Alrighty. So what alignment are you going to go with?
I think I'm going to be a neutral good, at least initially. You know, alignments do change with our groups. But yeah, what do you think? Neutral good? Because I'm an outlander.
If it helps, they do list that half-elves share chaotic bent of their elven heritage. They value both personal freedom and creative expression, demonstrating neither love of leaders nor desire for followers. They chafe at rules, resent others' demands, and sometimes prove unreliable or at least unpredictable.
I think neutral good.
Okay.
I think neutral good.
Okay, so you're going to write down that your base speed is 30. It's in...
Oh, right here.
Right
yes,
there,
I
yep.
See it.
And you're going to have dark vision. So you want to put that
in the
category right there on the right-hand side.
Which, the very personality bottom, traits?
Very bottom. Big
feature,
giant box.
Features and traits.
Yep. Dark vision, thanks to your elven blood, you have superior vision in dark and dim conditions. You can see dim light within 60 feet as if it were bright light, and in darkness as if it was dim light. You can't discern color in darkness, only shades of gray. So you can't cut the blue wire.
50 shades of gray, right?
There you go. Okay, so...
Apparently there are 50 shades.
Also write it down in their fey ancestry. You have advantage on saving throws against being charmed, and magic can't put you to sleep.
Say that again?
You have advantage on saving throws against charm.
Advantage, saving throw... against charm.
Okay.
And what was the other one?
And magic can't put you to sleep. So none of those tricky salted elf sleep spells would work on you.
Well, because as we learned with the salted elf, elves don't sleep.
Yep. Okay, you have skill versatility. You gain proficiency in 2 skills of your choice. This area.
Is it where? Which area?
This big area that says skills.
Okay. I need a magnifying glass. This is so small.
Would you like me to read it for you?
No, I can read it. I gotta get new glasses, apparently. Acrobatics, animal handling, arcane, athletics. So, what do I get to do with these?
You basically pick 2 of those that you'd like to learn. You may want to hold on a second so I can tell you what the ranger will give you. Because you don't want to double up on your skills. As a ranger, you get to pick from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. You get to pick 3 of those.
Okay, because I definitely want athletics, and I definitely want survival, And I definitely want stealth.
Okay, so... well, here, let's go ahead and go a little backwards, flip the way we're doing things. First, let's pick your ranger skills, since that's a class. So your choices are, and you may want to, like, mark these so you know where you're making your choice, animal handling, athletics.
Athletics.
So as a ranger, you get to pick three of the following. Animal handling, athletics.
Athletics.
Insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival.
Stealth and survival.
Okay, so go ahead and mark those little circles.
Little circles.
Fill those circles in. So now that you know as a ranger what you're taking, you know what to take with your other two free half-elf skills because you're versatile with your skills.
Okay.
So pick two other skills.
Two other skills. Let's see. What would you recommend? What does nature do?
Nature's basically used for doing ranger-y stuff.
For ranger-y stuff?
If you want to track animals, that's nature.
Yeah.
Investigate is if you want to look into something.
You mean if I want to investigate something?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. And insight, though, will give me...
Insight's used for people, usually.
Yeah, do outlanders care?
Do you really want to be a ranger who's a people person?
Not really.
Or do you want to be a ranger that can tell which way's north?
That's survival, isn't it? Or is that nature?
That would be pretty much survival and nature.
Okay.
You could probably play off using it on survival.
Yeah. Alrighty, so, let's see. I'm thinking maybe nature and... I suppose animal handling.
Okay.
Animal handling and nature. What do you think?
Okay. If you're planning on handling animals, that would be a good one.
I don't know. Do I?
Do you?
I mean...
Is your character going to be wanting to befriend animals, or are you not wanting to befriend animals? Will you want a horse to ride?
Depends on what type of outlander I am, right? I mean... Yeah. I'm not above it. Oh, we'll just... cover my bases.
Okay.
Just in case, right?
All
right.
Go for it.
And nature.
Okay, so now you've got languages. You can speak, read, and write common, elvish, and one language of choice.
Okay. Common, elvish, and one language of choice. Let's see. I haven't created a backstory for this character. So, what would you recommend? I mean, I don't even know what type of outlander I am or anything.
Well, it's not that you're just... An outlander just means you're from another place.
I'm from another place.
It doesn't mean that you have some kind of language. I mean, you can talk to humans. You can talk to elves. Who else do you think you'd like to talk to? Dwarves. Gnomes.
Hobgoblins. Orcs. Dragons.
Hobgoblins speak goblin, right?
Yep.
Mm. Being draconic is always fun.
Because it's always good to know the language of your enemy.
That's what I was thinking. What's the, do I have a
preferred
enemy?
So here's your standard languages. We've got common that's spoken by humans.
Right.
Dwarvish that's spoken by dwarves.
Yeah.
Elvish by elves. Giant that is spoken by ogres and giants. Gnomes that speak gnomish. Goblinoids speak goblin. Halflings speak halfling. Orcs speak orc.
Halflings have their own language called halfling.
Yeah.
I was not aware of this.
But yet, the written language for them is in common. It's funky. Probably including slang. Then we have demons who speak abysmal. Mm-hmm. Celestials who speak celestial. Dragons and dragonborn who speak draconic. We have mind flayers and beholders who speak dark, deep speak.
No, thank you.
Devils that speak infernal. Elementals that speak primordial. And then we have fey creatures who speak sylvan. And we have underdark traders who speak undercommon. What do you mean different from fey?
I mean, because elvish are fey folk, right? So
yes, sylvan is different than elvish.
Is different than elvish.
But yet, in its written form, it's elvish.
Kelly, what language do you think I should speak? Goblin or...
Well,
Well, do you want to overhear the goblins and know what they're saying? Or do you want to overhear the orcs and know what they're saying? Or do you want to overhear the giants and hear what they're saying?
I don't know.
Make a choice.
I know, I've got to figure out. You know, it's like, it would help if I knew what we were doing.
Princess of the Apocalypse. There you go.
What sort of creatures are we going to be encountering?
Elemental ones.
Oh, well, then I'll speak elemental.
Seriously.
Whatever.
Seriously.
Seriously.
You're going elemental.
I'm one with nature, right? Yeah.
So you're speaking primordial.
Okay. Primordial.
Primordial.
Okay.
And half the time people will look at you and go, what? Okay, so we finished step one.
Yay!
Now we're moving on to step two, which we've kind of glazed over, which is you're going to be a ranger.
Yay!
Okay, so let's get over to the ranger section. So, as a ranger, deadly hunters, independent adventurers, we are going to first pick your hit dice. Have you found your hit dice spot?
Yes.
It's going to be 1d10. So you write 1d10 in there.
Got it.
Okay, so let's go ahead and stat your character out. Okay, well, it says do that last, but you know what? We're going to do that right now. So, Carrie, as a ranger, this is the list of importance for you, and you are going with the two-weapon fighting, right?
Yeah. I'll do two-weapon fighting, yeah.
Okay, so in order of importance, your stats are going to be dexterity, followed by strength or wisdom, which are your next two. So okay. Pretty much you can choose which order they go. For your spell casting, it's wisdom-based. For your weapons, it's strength-based.
I'll go dexterity, strength, and then wisdom.
Okay, so here are your stats that you get to pick. 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, and 8. So the highest number is 15. Where are you going to put that?
Dexterity.
Okay. So the next number is going to be 14. Where are you going to put that?
Strength.
Then we have a 13.
Wisdom.
Then a 12.
Now
it starts getting difficult.
Right. Do you think constitution or intelligence? Which one would you?
Do you want to be smarter or tougher? You are two weapon fighting, so you're going to be mixing it up.
I want to be tougher. So that was 12?
12. Then a 10.
Intelligence.
And then an 8.
Charisma.
Ooh, you're very unfriendly.
Yes.
Okay. So
I almost went like hermit.
Okay, so add up with the bonuses you have written on the side there and put the number in the little circle.
So I add that and put there the little one? Okay.
Okay, and do that for all of them.
But I only had two additional
numbers. So put all your numbers in the little circle, because you want the big box to be used for your plus number that you can see really easy at a distance.
Okay.
Okay, so do you have any abilities that are an 8 or a 9? Go ahead and erase the big boxes so you can, because you're going to be writing in what your pluses or minuses are in those boxes.
Do you have a better eraser?
That's the only eraser we got right now. Don't worry, I can redo your character sheet, Perry.
Okay, with the pluses I had before, my lowest number is a 10.
Okay, do you have any 10 or 11s?
I have two 10s.
Mark plus 0 in those boxes. Do you have any 12 or 13s for your stats?
Yes.
Those are plus 1s. 12 and 13 is plus 1. Do you have any 14, 15s?
Yes.
Those are plus 2s. Are you lucky enough to have a 16 or a 17?
Yes.
Those are plus 3. Anything higher?
No.
Okay, so as a ranger, your hit points at first level is going to be 10 plus your constitution modifier.
10 plus 1.
So 11 will be your starting hit points. Okay.
That sucks.
That doesn't suck.
Level 1 characters. Ugh.
Okay, so over here in proficiencies, you're going to write that you are proficient in light armor, medium armor, and shields.
Shields for a ranger.
Yeah, well, you can use it. Doesn't mean you have to. Also, for weapons, you can use simple weapons or martial weapons. Basically, you're trained in all kinds of weapons.
Yay!
Up here in saving throws, you're going to mark your saving throws are strength and dexterity. So mark the little circle just like you did your skills. And we've already chosen your three skills. Okay, so now we move on to equipment, which would be right there. And you're going to have choices to make here. Would you like either scale mail or leather armor? Your choice.
Do I lose any dexterity bonuses with scale mail?
Let's go to the equipment section and double check. Okay. Leather, the AC is 11 plus your dex modifier. And for scale mail, scale mail will put you at disadvantage for any stealth rolls.
But so I don't lose any dex, I just lose stealth.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, it's...
Basically, anytime you try to sneak, you'd be at rolling disadvantage. And it's pretty heavy. 45 pounds of armor versus 10 pounds of armor. So are you going to be sneaky ranger, or are you going to be loud and proud ranger?
How much armor class does the scale mail give me?
Scale mail gives you 14 plus your dex modifier max of 2. So it would be 16. Leather gives you 11 plus your dex modifier. So pretty much scale would only give you one additional point. Because what's your dex modifier?
Plus 3.
Yeah, leather armor would give you 14. Scale would give you only 16. So there'd only be a 2-point difference. And you'd be rolling disadvantage on stealth rolls.
Hmm. What do you recommend?
I would say go with the leather, but that's just me. So that way you can be sneaky in the woods.
Right, and I could also move up to studded leather eventually.
True.
Let's go leather.
Okay.
So where do I put that?
In your equipment section. It's right there in the middle. Yeah. Just put leather armor. And then the next one I think we already covered, which was two short swords.
So what do I put under my armor class?
Just don't worry about that yet. Just go ahead and write down your equipment. Two short swords or two simple weapons? I'm assuming we're going with two short swords.
I think we went to two short swords.
Okay. Okay, the next one is a dungeoneer's pack or an explorer's pack.
What's in a what are in either?
Let me go ahead and give you the breakdown.
Now I have that song in my head. You're the princess of the universe. I have no rival. Have me blood of kings, yeah.
Surprised Kelly hasn't joined in on you.
I think I got the verse mixed up anyways.
It's okay. Okay, so we've got the Dungeoneer's Pack, which includes a backpack, a crowbar, a hammer, 10 pitons, 10 torches, a tinderbox, 10 days of food rations, and a water skin, and 50 feet of hemp rope.
Mm-hmm.
The Explorer's Pack includes a backpack, a bedroll, a mess kit, a tinderbox, 10 torches, 10 days of rations, and a water skin, and 50 feet of hemp rope.
I think...
All right, so you got the longbow and a quiver with 20 arrows?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so here's just something to think ahead is... Okay. So, beginning at first level, you have significant experience studying, tracking, hunting, and even talking to a certain type of enemy. Choose a type of favorite enemy. Your choices are...
Aberrations,
beasts, celestials, constructs, dragons, elementals, fey, fiends, giants, monstrosities, oozes, plants, or undead.
Wow, what do you classify as a monstrosity?
Basically, it's the uncategorized things.
Oh, let's see.
Alternately, you can you select two races of humanoids, by the way, such as like gnolls and orcs.
Oh, okay. All right, what was the list again?
It was...
This is my preferred enemy or something?
Yep, your favorite enemy. Basically, anything to do with your favorite enemy, you're going to get advantage when you do stuff on wisdom checks. So you've got two types of humanoids, or aberrations, beasts, celestials, constructs, dragons, elementals, fey, fiends, giants, monstrosities, oozes, plants, or undead.
I'm kind of an antisocial kind of person. Maybe two type of humanoids. What do you think?
It's up to you. I will give you a hint that we are going after the princes of the apocalypse, the cult of the elemental evil.
Yeah, so do I want to kill cultists, which sound pretty good to me, or they're elementals? I mean, I do speak elemental. So, okay, I guess I'll kill elementals.
Okay, so you're picking elementals as your favorite type?
Yes, I guess. Okay. Yes, where do I put that? Yeah, I guess. I could, though, sounds more fun killing just the cultists. But I suppose they have the elementals.
Seriously, you could go humans and something or whatnot. So it's up to you. Two types of humanoids or elementals.
Yeah, but see, it's either or.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to pick two humanoids or elementals in general, because elementals is such a big category.
It is a big category?
It is, yeah. There's a lot of things that have the elemental category tacked on their name.
Hmm. But am I like, is this like metagaming or something where I'm like playing, you know, I mean, I know I'm going up against elementals, gee, I go and pick elementals. Like I did the language.
Well, we haven't gotten into your background yet.
That's true, because I'm going with the dark omens.
Yeah, so you already know that there's something wrong with the elements.
Yeah, I have to balance nature. And you speak elemental. Nature.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll fight elementals.
Okay, so elementals will be your favorite.
Where do I put that under?
So just put
traits,
that in over here. Pretty much all the stuff's going in that category. All
right.
Okay, so you have advantage on survival checks to track your favorite enemy, as well as on intelligence checks to recall information about them.
Okay, so what was that? The first
You don't need to write it down. Okay, I'm just telling you. That you have advantage on survival checks to track your favorite enemy, as well as intelligence checks to recall information about them.
Okay.
When you gain this feature, you also learn one language of your choice that is spoken by your favorite enemy, if they speak at all. So if you want, you can change one of your languages, since elemental is the language that they speak.
Yeah, you said they speak primordial.
Primordial, yes. Well, that's what I'm saying is, as a favorite enemy, you get to speak that already.
Oh, okay. So I can add another language.
Yep. Okay, so the next one you have as natural explorer. You're particularly familiar with one type of natural environment, and you are adept at traveling and surviving in such regions. Choose one type of favored terrain. Arctic, coast, desert, forest, grassland, mountain, swamp, or underdark. When you make a intel or wisdom roll based on your favorite terrain, your bonus is doubled when using that skill. And while traveling for an hour or more in your favorite terrain, you gain one of the following benefits. Difficult terrain doesn't slow your group's travel, because you're leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
Your group can't become lost except by magical means. Even when you are engaged in another type of activity while traveling, such as foraging, navigating, or tracking, you remain alert to danger.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm torn between mountainous and forest.
Okay.
So...
Also, if you're traveling alone, you can move stealthily at normal pace.
Even with scale mail?
Even with scale mail. When you forage, you find twice as much food as you normally would. And the last one is while tracking other creatures, you also learn their exact number, their sizes, and how long ago they passed through the area.
Let's see. Mountainous or forest? What What do you think, Jim? Mountainous or forest?
I would
mountain
say
or forest.
Forest.
Forest it is, then. Forest. I'm a forest. Well,
because think about it, it would be your favorite terrain. Where would you like to stay?
Oh, that definitely forest.
Okay, yeah. See, it's your favorite.
Forest.
Okay, so we have your class picked, and we've determined your ability scores. Now we've only got one more thing to pick. You don't need to worry about picking your ranger archetype yet, because that'll be at second level. You get to pick that, so you get to play around first before you're set on archery or two weapon. But we now have to select your background.
Okay,
so you were thinking about the Outlander?
Yeah, I'm thinking Outlander.
Okay. So...
because I like their, like, proficiencies. And, let's see. Let me read it.
Okay.
Because the Outlander says, you grew up in the wilds, far from civilization and the comforts of town or technology. You've witnessed migration of herds and larger than forests, survived weather more extreme than any city dweller could comprehend, and enjoyed solitude of being alone and thinking... the only thinking creature for miles in any direction. The wilds are in your blood, whether you are a nomad or an explorer or a recluse or a hunter-gatherer or even a marauder. Even in places where you don't know the specific features of the terrain, you know the ways of the wilds. Because the skills proficiencies are athletics and survival. I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
And that just means I'm from, like, you know, pretty much... a wild
place.
So for
your skill proficiencies, fill in athletics, and you're going to want to write that you're Outlander.
I already have athletics filled in.
Okay.
So what do I...
you already have athletics?
Yeah, see? The dot. We did that with Ranger.
Okay, well then you... do you want to swap that then, since you're already going to be skilled in athletics and survival?
Yeah, I swap
that it. Was on your two skills, your three skills that you could pick as a ranger. So
yeah.
Let's see what other choices you had for those two skills, since you basically doubled up on your skills. All right, so...
and that would be bad?
Your choice was... well, it doesn't give you any bonus.
Oh, okay.
So you're basically shortchanging yourself.
All right, well, I want then...
so your choices were animal handling...
which we do have already.
Insight.
Insight I don't have.
Investigation.
I don't have that.
Nature.
I already have nature.
Perception?
I don't have perception.
Stealth and survival.
I have stealth and survival. So it's really between insight, perception, and investigation. Which, let's see. I definitely think I want perception.
Why are you erasing?
Well, that was insight.
Oh, okay.
So...
okay,
oh,
so
that
you
was
have one more to pick.
Persuasion is perception. Nope, I got them in the wrong place. Hold on. This thing's so small.
Just make perception. Sure I can tell the difference between them.
You can. Perception, and now I have to choose between investigation or insight.
Investigation will let you see what's going on in a scene. And
right, and what is insight?
Insight will be for doing people. Deciphering body mannerisms, telling if someone's lying to you.
You could, wouldn't that also be perception?
No, perception is to see and absorb and put in. And insight is you're basically connecting the dots.
I'll do investigation then. What do you think?
Here, let me give you the actual skills here. So, we have... investigation. When you look around for clues and make deductions based on these clues, you make an intel investigation check. You might deduce the location of a hidden object, discern from your appearance a wound, what kind of weapon dealt it, or determine the weakest point in a tunnel that could cause it to collapse. Poring through ancient scrolls in search of a hidden fragment of knowledge might also call for an intel investigation check.
Hmm.
The other one you were looking for was insight?
Yeah.
Which I believe is wisdom. Okay, insight. Your wisdom insight check decides whether you can determine the true intentions of a creature, such as when searching out a lie or predicting someone's next move. Doing so involves gleaming clues from body language, speech habits, and change in mannerisms.
Insight, definitely.
Insight? Okay. Which you're going to be really good at with your wisdom.
Well, I have a +1 to wisdom, that's about it.
Okay, so we freed up those skills that were going to be tied up as an Outlander. Let's go back to Outlander. Okay, so as an Outlander, choose one musical instrument for those lonely days on the range when you play your harmonica.
No, not the harmonica.
Well, I was joking, but it's the cowboy reference.
Like the flute. You know, like, have you ever heard Native American flutes? Mm-hmm. Or the Japanese flutes? Those kinds of flutes. Oh my God. So beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's hauntingly beautiful.
With the high-pitched notes.
Well, there's just something about them. It's just so... Yeah, it moves you. You know, kind of like how, you know, you don't get that swelling you get from bagpipes and stuff like that. This is more like, yeah, so, you know, a flute, basically.
Okay, so go ahead and write down that you have a flute.
And equipment.
Yep, and equipment.
But yeah, it's going to be like one of those Native American flutes.
And that's...
It's so beautiful.
Actually, no, you don't have the flute, but you are proficient, so you want to write in your proficiencies.
Oh.
You're proficient in the flute.
Why wouldn't I have one, then?
Well, you'd have to buy one. So, moving on.
What about
languages? Hey, if you do the crafting, I can let you craft it one. languages. You get one additional language of choice.
Another
language. Which you, go for goblin. Just go goblin.
We're going to go in goblin.
I will save you the time. Goblin.
Goblin.
That we have
yes.
Goblin, orc, and elemental, primordial cover. Okay. So, equipment.
Totally fine with that.
As a outlander, you get a staff.
A staff.
A hunting trap.
What, hunting trap?
A hunting trap.
Okay, hunting trap.
You know, like a bear trap?
Yeah.
A trophy from an animal you killed.
Animal trophy, okay.
A set of traveler's clothes.
Okay.
And a belt pouch containing 10 gold pieces, which I believe is the fourth one down on your coin chart.
10 gold pieces?
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to let you re-roll once on these charts here. This is going to be for your character's breakdown. So, get the dice ready. You are first going to need to roll your origin. You've been to strange places and seen things that others cannot begin to fathom. Consider some of the distant lands you visited and how they impacted you. You can roll on the following table to determine your occupation during your time in the wild. Go ahead and roll me a d10.
I'm not going to like this. 70.
Were you a pilgrim?
Was I a pilgrim?
Or are you going to re-roll that? Could be a pilgrim to the nature gods.
True, because that would go with dark omens.
Or are you going to take
but
your chance?
Can I just see what I roll on the next one?
Are you going to discard this roll or keep this roll?
Well, see, why do I have to discard? Can't I just choose between two?
No.
Why not?
Because your GM's a jerk. And I'm putting pressure on you. You have to make a choice. There's a lot better than Pilgrim on the chart, by the way.
I'm going to roll again.
Okay.
And then I'm going to whine and make your life okay. So much hell if I don't like it.
And I just won't edit it out. That's the beauty.
88.
Eight? Tribal Nomad.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Okay, so
that's,
go ahead.
What's a tribal nomad?
You're a nomad in a tribe.
Okay, well, I'm a tribal nomad.
So write that somewhere.
Is it under personality traits?
Well, it's going to be, don't fill up this block yet, but it's going to be in that block. Just put tribal nomad on the top. So, you get the ability of wander. You're going to want to write that down.
Where do I write that under?
In the big column down here, we have all that space.
I'm a wander, because I'm a wanderer. I'm a wanderer. I wander around and around and around. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Wander.
You have an excellent memory for maps and geography, and you can always recall general layouts of terrain, settlements, and other features around you. In addition, you can find food and fresh water for yourself and up to 5 other people each day, provided that the land offers berries, small game, water, and so forth. So basically, you are the walking ration for the group.
I can find you food.
And apparently, you will know which way is north.
Okay.
Okay. So, first, let's go ahead and roll a D8 for personality traits. That's going to be the first block in your character's background. Remember, these are going to be what you're going to use for inspiration points.
And we got a 5.
For personality trait, I place no stock in wealthy or well-mannered folk. Money and manners won't save you from a hungry owlbear.
Okay. Owlbear!
Did you want to keep that or roll for something else? That's actually pretty good.
That's actually pretty good. It's, you know, one of those, it's like, you... sure, I'll get money, but that doesn't mean I want it or, you know. And okay. That's actually kind of, what was that one called?
Yeah, I place no stock in wealthy or well-mannered folk. Money and manners won't save you from a hungry owlbear. Kind of reminds me of your folk hero.
Well, sort of. Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a D6. It seems to fit a nomadic ideal. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
money just makes you soft. So this would be your ideal.
My ideal? Two?
Greater good. It is each person's responsibility to make the most happiness for the whole tribe.
No. Greater good. Greater good.
Greater good. It is each person's responsibility to make the most happiness for the whole of the tribe. You're getting pretty good here.
Well, okay. You just jinxed me, thank you.
I know. Bond. Let's see what your bond is. 1d6.
1d6? Okay. 3.
Bond. I will bring terrible wrath on the evildoers who destroyed my homeland. Did possibly the cult of the elemental eye burn down your forest, or flood the forest with water, or cause great chasms to crush your people, or winds to knock your tree houses out of the sky?
That's not bad, but that's, it doesn't kind of go with that. You had me look up those, because that would go with a different one of
Okay, so go ahead and roll again.
Yeah, sort of a seeking revenge sort of thing. Okay. Well, no, I just want to see what I get.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I want to switch. See what I mean?
I see what you mean.
One. I'll give you
this one. But do you really want to use it on this one or save it for your flaw?
Ooh, save it for your flaw.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so what's this one again?
I will bring terrible wrath down on the evildoers who destroyed my homeland. Sort of like when you pulled your bow on the dragon.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
But still, that means you're going to be the really good person who goes off literally half-notched on your group. Oh god, it's a cultist! Okay.
Hey, I'll bring terrible wrath does not mean that I'm going to fly off the handle.
Okay.
Just saying. That just means I'm like to plan, what is the saying? Revenge is a dish best served cold.
That's not terrible wrath. I think terrible wrath not what you think it is.
Well, still.
Okay, so go ahead and roll me a 1d6 for your flaw. This I will let you roll twice and pick.
5.
Violence is my answer to almost any challenge. Go ahead and roll again.
That one's kind of good, though. All right, 2.
There is no room for caution in a life lived to its fullest.
Nah, I like violence.
Wow.
Don't you think? I mean,
violence is my answer to almost any challenge. Go ahead and write that down as your flaw. So anytime you're challenged, I expect you to, if you want inspiration, to fly off the handle.
When violence means just like, yeah, not flying off the handle. It means
violence.
Being you're more likely violent. To hit first then ask questions later.
So what you're saying is combine that with your previous one, and that's a dangerous powder keg waiting to happen. Cultist. Violence!
She's very angry.
Just write it down.
I'm very angry.
But okay.
It's like violence.
So we pretty much have your character done. You are fully equipped. You have your background. You've got your starting equipment. So
my answer to everything will be, let's kill it.
Yeah. Unless it's something natural and you can protect it. So we have also... Have you picked a name?
No, I have not picked a name. Sorry. Names are personal, and, I have to...
Let it percolate?
Yeah, that you just can't... names you have to really kind of think about.
Okay. So, let's see. That is everything. And which of the factions are you interested in getting with? Okay, so which one of the 5 factions will you be joining?
Can I see the book again? Because, sure. I had picked it before, but, my character's kind of changed with the creation of said character. So,
Alright, here's the factions. Which we will be renaming them a little bit, but I just need to know which one of the factions I need to
know. Well, so far, you know, so far the Emerald Enclave, because this widespread group of wilderness survivalists preserves the natural order while rooting out the unnatural threats. Many of the Enclave's members are barbarians, druids, and rangers. Some wander the untamed lands, while others make their homes in the outskirts of towns and villages where they help to protect travelers and dangers from the wild. The Enclave's greatest stronghold is the fortified farm of an abbey to Chanti called Golden Fields. It's got an abbot and all this other stuff. In the high forest to the east. Okay, so I'm thinking that's probably the one for me anyways.
Okay, the Emerald Enclave.
But I'm probably a loose cannon for them, obviously. Well, but hey, you know, my band members and stuff like that are my group mates. They can always appeal to me for the greater good.
True.
Saying, it's, you know, don't go killing everything, greater good, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Well, obviously, I can be persuaded that way. But otherwise, okay. Let's just kill everything.
And which one of the adventure hooks did you pick?
Adventure hooks. Well, I had thought to go with Dark Omens, which is the signs and portents are clear, nature is out of balance, terrible disaster is drawing closer with the every passing day. To restore the balance of nature, the character must destroy the four elemental nodes. The character earns inspiration for each portal the party closes.
Which is a really good one for you, because you see the birds flocking unseasonably early in the season or something like that.
So, and I could still probably do that with having lost my family and stuff like that in my tribe.
Well, it could always just be your adopted tribe, too. It doesn't have to be all of your family.
That's true. I was probably because I'm a half-blood, you know. That's stuff.
Only the human half of the family tree got burned.
So, but I could, let me check out the Seeking Revenge. Fire cultists torched the character's home and raised a defenseless village. The character is sworn to stop them. The character earns inspiration by defeating Lizzie Calderos in E29 of the Temple of Eternal Flame. I like the broadness of Dark Omens.
Dark Omens is a good one because basically you sense that nature is out of
balance. Something's out of whack and I want, you know.
And especially since you're Emerald Enclave.
Yes. I think I'm going to go with Dark Omens.
Alrighty, and is there anything you want to add to your character?
Does it have to be added right now, or...?
Not really, but just as we're making your character.
What do you mean?
Any connections? Is there any contacts or NPCs you want me to help write into the story?
Well, since I haven't developed a full backstory yet, that could be hard. So, I guess not at this time, no.
Okay. Any themes or aspirations you want to go for your character at this point?
Kill it? No. Let's see. Obviously, I want to get things on, you know, protect nature and protect everyone, so... But I like to do it in very violent ways.
Okay.
I don't know.
At least you won't be using flaming arrows. Okay, so we've actually...
On the forest.
True. On the flip side, we've actually already finished Kelly's character that she was making. So, Kelly, you want to jump on in and tell us about your character?
let's see here. Mine is a... Hold on, let me get the sheet out.
It's right there.
Okay. Mine is a tiefling cleric of the god Pelor, the god of light. I just wanted it because it's ironic.
A tiefling and the god of light.
Here's a tiefling.
I love that idea.
She looks, you know, red-skinned, black-horned, golden eyes, though. Looks like the devil. But is in fact a cleric of the god Pelor. And yes, I have a backstory, but not everyone will know it. It will be released.
She's the teacher's pet.
No. It's like, let's just put it this way. She had a rough young life. Okay. I went with the light path for her.
So
the light domain?
Yeah, the light domain. So not only can I heal wounds, but I can burn. I mean, come on. It's going to be funny to see the flames from my hands, you know, and people not trying to think of of the infernal. But I'm really good.
She just cast Burning Hands. Sure, I don't smell sulfur. She must be good.
Yeah. I thought it would create a certain amount of, you know, conflict, you know, with her look, you know, as well, you know, because, you know, tieflings are not really well liked in most places. So I thought that would be kind of an interesting kind of character to, you know, portray, you know.
True that, true that.
I am actually also toying with the idea of an accent for her.
Yes, yes, you should.
I should?
You should.
I'm thinking of something Slavic, you know. Sort of like
the Draenei.
No. Have you ever seen the...
Fourth edition
D&D little animated films that they put out, and there's
this
one...
Is that the one with the little guy that wants to
Yeah!
It's like the little...
Do you have a lair?
I have a lair.
Yeah.
Those are funny, and there's an Eye of the Beholder one.
Well,
this is the tiefling one.
There is the tiefling
There's
one.
There's one with the tiefling, and she's basically... It's like, I went the infernal path for obvious reasons. And, you know, it's like, and just, it's hella funny. So, actually, that's really why I'm thinking of doing that type of thing. And I think I just might do that. mine is named. She has her cleric name. Her cleric name is Sister Solace.
Which I love.
Yes, Sister Solace. That's the name she took upon taking her order, you know, vows. And stuff to fight the good fight. Fight the good light.
Fight the good fight with the good light.
Good light, exactly. She's a neutral good. And let's see here. Her personality traits. She idolizes a hero of my faith and constantly refer to that person and their deeds and examples.
To which you will be writing that backstory.
Yes, I will be writing up my backstory.
Your hero of legend.
Yes. Well, it's not only just a hero of legend, but it's the one who taught me about him. Because I idolize him as well. The man who...
Your mentor.
Who showed me the light of Pelor. Yeah. Okay, see here. For my ideals, aspiration is to seek to prove myself worthy of my gods for favor by making my actions... I can't... Something in their, you know...
You went acolyte, right?
Yes. And my bonds, everything I do is for the common people. And my flaws, my piety sometimes leads me to blindly trust those that profess faith in my God. So that can probably, you know, lead to, you know, how we have some people who claim faith yet don't have it.
So what do you think your ideal was? Because here's the list. Tradition, charity, change, power, faith, or aspiration?
Aspiration, I said.
Aspiration. Okay.
I seek to prove myself worthy of my God's favor by making my actions, and I can't read your...
Actions favorite. Against his or her teachings.
Teachings, yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So, I think that covers the basics of what the things that I've chosen.
Yep, pretty much.
And of course, the faction would be, what's the,
Church of Pelor?
The faction. Of course I'm with the Church of Pelor.
Yeah, which faction did you go
with? It was the Gauntlet one.
Let's go ahead Order and flip of the it out for you so you can read
Order
it.
Of the Gauntlet.
Yes, but this gives you a chance to read it.
Are there any factionless?
You can be factionless
this
if you want.
This is not Divergent!
Okay, yeah, I know that.
You can by all means be factionless if you want, but factions help you. They help. Okay.
They give
quests, and they help you with healing and resurrections. Sorry.
Continue. For the Order of the Gauntlet, this faction is primarily a military organization made up of paladins, clerics, and monks. Members of the Order are faithful and vigilant seekers of justice who protect others from the depredations of evildoers. They exact swift retribution against those who violate the law. Atop a high crest of the Sumber Hills stands Summit Hall, home of Knights of Sumilar. This venerable order of Paladins of Tyr strives to promote justice in Savage North. The Order of the Gauntlet hopes to expand its influence in the region by joining the Knights to its cause. in the western Sumber Hills, and the Order has little political influence. It hopes to correct this weakness by establishing alliances with local leaders who share its goals, such as the Water Baron of Yartar. The Order is even pursuing negotiations with fringe organizations. You can never have too many friends.
And what adventure hook did you choose?
Oh, for my adventure hook, actually. Uh-huh. I went with Ominous Dream. The character has seen the Earth Prophet Marlos Unrale in dreams. Of course, these dreams were sent by my god, Palor.
Warnings, okay. I'm sure.
Yes. Okay, this is... I'm being tasked unto him. Okay. In dreams, and knows that Marlos is a dangerous villain who must be stopped. The character earns inspiration for gaining access to the Earth Temple and again for defeating Marlos.
So you want to seek the Earth Temple's destruction.
Yes.
All right, and anything else you want to let everybody know about your tiefling?
She's got a past.
She's got a past. But you're going to have to listen to hear it, huh?
You have to wait. Maybe it will...
come out a little bit each game?
Yeah. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. It's just a hint.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And how did you enjoy your character creation since last time we used pre-gens? This time you guys made your characters from scratch?
I actually liked it because it made it more personal. Yeah. I'm literally... get to craft it. I mean, sure, certain things, you know, we're rolling the dice to see what the other things are, but trying to incorporate into an idea of a person just kind of makes it that much more yours. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, having here's a sheet, pre-gen.
Yep.
Take it and run with it.
Which we did amazingly. Which we did. Yes, because those were great pre-gens. They really were.
Yeah, but fun. You know, not everybody was pleased with... I mean, there was only a limited choice. Yeah. So,
and know. Thank you again for playing the cleric.
Yeah, I don't know why nobody wants to play the cleric.
Apparently no one wants to play the cleric this time, but clerics are badass.
I'll play a cleric. I'm playing a...
Hey, I just want someone to heal. Gotta have the healer.
Yeah, well, I'm not just a heal bot.
Well, when your druid levels up, you can actually do things like cast Goodberry to help the group out here.
No, she's not a druid. She's a ranger.
You're a ranger.
Ranger, yeah.
Rangers get spells.
You said druid.
Sorry.
You said druid.
But yeah. No, Goodberry sounds
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Good is good.
Good is good. All right. Thank you for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Kelly, a.k.a. Trixie from Ragnarok and Roll, assigned to Ragnarok Story, and Tilda Wimblewick from D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. First off, I would just like to say thank you to everyone for listening to our varied adventures, as well as for rating us on iTunes and RPGpodcast.com. If you haven't rated us yet, we would greatly appreciate it if you could. And if you're looking for more ways to support our efforts, we are now on Patreon, a great site where you can help us continue making more podcasts, as well as some special surprises for our patrons. If you can, please look us up at www.patreon.com/cppn. Every little bit helps. And again, thank you for listening.
And this has been another edition of D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Thank you for listening, and be careful. I've heard there's dragons about.